Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
All right. Can you do the Andy look ahead?
Yeah, all right. By the way, I just started standing up.
And James Strebel.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday edition of The Take. We got James Strebel. His wife is hiding a pickle. We'll find out where. Pat 40 in the 4 o'clock hour. We got Sam Vecenie in the 5 o'clock hour. It's a loaded episode of The Take. Plus, what is Crean doing with IU? We're going to find out. He's going to eat a whole pizza. Two whole pizzas, maybe. Yeah, it's a Wednesday edition of The Take.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's Wednesday. It's The Take on ESPN 680 105.7. If you know it's a Wednesday, we got Pat 40 coming up in a second. We also know it's a Witch Wednesday. Thank you to Jason and his team bringing by some lunch today to the ESPN Louisville studios. Witch Wednesday, carry out, curbside delivery. They got you covered. Hurstbourne or Brownsboro, lunch, dinner, your next tailgate. Jack, do you hear my dog crying in the background right now?
Yes, I do, and it's heartbreaking. It really is.
One of my dogs is at the vet, and the younger one, Ramon, has separation. Like, he does not like when his sister is not here.
Yeah.
And so behind him we'll have the crying of my dog while we talk with Pat 40. But really, it's a crying that my New York Giants really are this bad. Pat, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Your team got routed by the Broncos.
Dude, I mean, like, they're so bad.
At home. That was bad.
Pat, I say this, you know, sometimes we say things and we're like, it's a figure of speech. I would fist fight Jason Garrett, if you're wondering. I would fist fight Jason Garrett and not have a problem. Like, if you ask me to take over if Satterfield gets run out of here or something like that and Jason Garrett ever got hired, I would have to move. You understand that? I would have to go somewhere else and do something else with my life. Now, Pat 40 with the Sports Illustrated at by Pat 40 here on this Wednesday. Now, I'm about to take him out. Now, you are going to the Louisville Central Florida game, and then on top of that, you're going the next day to Indiana Cincinnati. I mean, that's a good 1-2 punch. What do you think of those two games?
Yeah, it's like a flashback to my old Courier Journal days. I get to keep it local here and see two games, so I'm happy about that. And, you know, I'm honestly going more to see the visiting teams at this point. They're undefeated, and they're the shiny new toys of the Big 12. So, you know, UCF and Cincinnati got membership into that conference last Friday. They both won over the weekend, and now they're taking on Power 5 teams that – allegedly, supposedly, they are now one of. So how do they do? How do they stack up in these games? I'm anxious to see. And, of course, I am certainly curious to see how Louisville looks. You know, I think they're a major work in progress, and I'd probably say the same about Indiana.
Yeah, they're winnable games. You talk about Cincinnati and UCF. They're not only, you know, games against teams. Hey, go upset a big, you know, a team or whatever it may be. But the number open for Central Florida, almost double digits now. It's come down from about 9.5 to about 6.5, maybe 10 to about 7, depending on which sports book you're at. So I'm interested in what's going on there. Pat 40 with us. Let's start specifically with U of L. We'll go Kentucky, and obviously the games this weekend. The anger around here has been palpable, Pat, and, you know, it was anger last week and Saturday, the Eastern Kentucky game, especially for those that attended it and had to, you know, wait in line 45 minutes for a beer, Diet Coke, and then, you know, no cash and the credit card machines and all the nonsense that happened there. The fan base is upset, and they're still upset, and it hasn't subsided very much. I guess just a general question, what do you make of the anger right now that is just beaming from Louisville fans? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, here's my thought on this, and I believe I heard Drew say this maybe on Monday, that that this is all kind of cumulative effect, frustration, anger, you know, like we got to let it out on somebody. And right now we're letting it out on football because that's what's being played. But it's basketball, you know, it's scandal fatigue. And then you throw in a disappointing opener. And then, yes, okay, you didn't have a great fan experience at the home opener. And I just think that this is people letting Louisville have it for a succession of things. You know, I don't think this is an indication per se about Scott Satterfield, although there's people mad at him too. But, you know, I think this is just like we've put up with a lot and we're tired of putting up with it as much as anything. And I do think, look, you beat Central Florida. Guess what? People won't care that much if they have to wait in line for 30 minutes for a beer or for a hot dog. They'll be fine because that's a quality win. That would be a good win. So if you start stacking up some victories, all the rest of the stuff goes away. But they haven't done that yet. And so it's, you know, it's not making the NCAA tournament last year. It's the Dino Gaudio extortion. It's the other NCAA cases. It's getting housed by Mississippi. It's kind of all coming home to roost.
Yeah, Chris Mack suspended 6 games. Fans still very highly of him. You throw it. Vince Tyree said you start stapling things together, which is what's happening. In the Satterfield stuff, I just think, Pat, I don't know the true percentages, but, I mean, I did the subject yesterday. What is salvageable? Because so many Louisville fans are unhappy that I even think you're going to have to string together several wins for there to be the buy-in that there was just a few weeks ago, a month ago or so. With criticism with Satterfield, what do you think is fair or what do you think is unfair as he enters game three, year three? He's got to get things going.
Yeah, I mean, look, he left a bad taste in everyone's mouth with the South Carolina situation at the end of last year. You follow that up after an offseason of quiet optimism with a pretty big flop against Mississippi. And then, okay, you beat EKU. Well, you're supposed to beat EKU. And you don't look great. I mean, you're not terrible doing it. It wasn't like Cragthorpe wheezing by Murray State or something, but it was not this like brilliant performance. There were some good things, but those games don't buy you a lot of cachet with the fans. So you got to beat some good teams or some, you know, I mean, I think I'd put UCF in the category of a good program, good team. So you win this game, that changes things. Here's the thing. I mean, football, you just vacillate week to week on the outlook of your team, but everybody else's too. Like, Florida State, well, they look pretty good against Notre Dame. Oh, my God, they're terrible. They lost to an FCS team. North Carolina State, they could be pretty good. Oh, my God, they just got destroyed by Mississippi State. Boston College could be pretty good. Oh, their quarterback's out for the season. So, I mean, you start looking at that division and say, it looked pretty tough after 1 week. Doesn't look so tough after week two. Maybe there's more opportunities there. That's kind of how football goes.
That might be the case, and that would be the more positive side. And of course, you know, we hear very little of that around here, Pat. As you can imagine, it's been the other side. I don't know. I guess I don't think this is an unfair question. I think the worry is, you know, Scott Satterfield's play calling. You know, people go back to, you know, losing members of his coaching staff and maybe not replenishing as good of a staff, not being able to recruit quarterbacks. Some of the stuff that he did, so the way his teams looked at App State, that was fine, but not in the ACC. I mean, I think that is a worry that's going through Louisville fans' heads. And if they lose on Friday, I think it's going to be palpable. I think you're going to hear a lot of that. Is that a worry that a lot of people were just wrong on Scott Satterfield maybe?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I do think the staff turnover was a bit worrisome coming off of last season. And again, I am not convinced they've got a defensive staff that's great. So, you know, did you lose good offensive staff? Do you not have a good defensive staff? Where do you stand from that standpoint? You could probably drill down on play calling and that sort of thing, but I look at this. They were not as good as Ole Miss. And you could scheme up whatever you want to scheme up or call whatever you want to call. They weren't going to win that game.
So right.
You get past that. We'll see when they get into – now, the fact that they weren't as good as Ole Miss could be a problem, could be something that you're like, hey, wait a minute, shouldn't be as good as the, you know, eighth best team in the SEC. But I don't look at it and say, oh, well, if only he had somebody else calling plays or helping him with play calling, you know, whatever. I'm not caught up in those details yet. Now, you get into you lose a 3-point game, a 7-point game, and you can go back and say, this call was bad, that call was bad, this decision was bad, then there might be an issue there. But for now, I'm not going to get too hung up on play calling.
Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680 1057. As a general, I guess, thought, if you will, you're going to be out there on Friday night. The other side of this is Gus Malzahn making the move to Central Florida. Then they're going to go to the Big 12. They're 2-0 early season. He has a good quarterback and everything else. Gus Malzahn in Central Florida, how do you foresee that marriage working out?
Very well. I mean, I thought that was maybe the best hire anybody made in the offseason, getting him on the rebound after a pretty successful tenure at Auburn. You know, I mean, Auburn is slightly insane, and so, you know, they're going to let go a coach who won the SEC West twice, played for a national championship, beat Alabama, I believe, 3 times at a time when nobody was beating Alabama 3 times. Fine, UCF, go get him, and I think he's a good fit with what they've got. You know, and what they can recruit and do there. He's recruiting probably a lot of the same players right now that he would have been recruiting if he was at Auburn. So, I think that there is great potential there for them to be right there with Cincinnati, which right now is the gold standard for Group of Five programs as far as, the two best in the country.
You said Auburn is kind of crazy. They're full crazy, Pat. They're full crazy.
They are. No,
yeah. They're full crazy there at Auburn. Pat Forty with us on ESPN 680 1057. UK is staring if they can take care of business. Chattanooga, obviously, on Saturday. And then in a couple weeks, South Carolina. We know South Carolina's 2-0, but not too good. We understand where they are as a program. So they're staring down 4-0 with the Florida team that's got some interesting quarterback stuff going on. You wrote about Kentucky as an interesting team that after 2 weeks is 2-0. I guess, what do you make of the Cats, and what do you make of how they played against Missouri for about 3 quarters, I guess, on Saturday night?
Yeah, they were by far the better team and still nearly blew it. Say that, which kind of sounds like old Kentucky, but the fact that they were by far the better team in an SEC matchup indicates they've come quite a ways, I think, in terms of personnel. I mean, they're one of the early transfer portal winners for sure, with Will Levis, with Wandale Robinson, with Dar Rosenthal, and then, the coordinator change so far has worked out extremely well. Chris Rodriguez is playing great. They've got a physical downhill running game where they don't have to have Will Levis throw it 30 times a game, which I don't think is his strong suit. So what they've put together is impressive. Now they have to avoid screwing up. They have to avoid turnovers. They have to avoid giving away games, which they nearly did to Missouri. But I think, yeah, you're right. You kind of look ahead and circle that Florida game and say, okay, that could be pretty big if they get there and if Florida gets there in decent shape. I don't expect Florida to win this weekend, but I expect them to have one loss coming into Lexington and Kentucky to be undefeated.
And Alabama doesn't count. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know that, Pat. It doesn't count. If they go, they'll be undefeated at 11-1. There'll be 2 records, actually. That's the way it is with Nick Saban. Speaking of, I assume you saw the sound, the Nick Saban, the D's nuts joke sound going around the internet yesterday. Is that something that you happen to see? Okay, I was worried there for a second.
My attention.
Oh yeah,
no,
well,
no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
That was
how good it.
I was only looking at the Josh Maxson, who's the media guy at Alabama, was like shriveling up into a ball watching this happen. You know, in the most tightly controlled program in the world, to have it come out that Nick Saban is dropping nuts jokes at practice.
Well, someone screeched. Someone screeched. Yeah. Someone goes, no. It might have been him. Someone goes, no.
That might well have been him.
Yeah, and then a woman wanted Chuck to talk. There was a Charles or a Chuck. Yeah. I assume it wasn't Barkley.
A Charlie.
Charlie. Oh, there you go. Thank you. I was all around.
Please change the subject. Please.
Yes, please.
That was absolute gold.
Oh, it was gold. I mean, it's the best sound ever. It's the best sound ever. I guess it goes back to Marlon Humphrey and Josh Jacobs talked about it with Dan Patrick two or three years ago and everything else. One more Kentucky one. I'm just interested. I said that going for it on that fourth down, are you familiar with this play? I just don't know how much you watch of Kentucky-Missouri. I apologize for putting you on the spot. There were 2 minutes to go in the game, and Kentucky had a fourth and one. And they went for the kick. That's when they went for the kick field. You know, they went for the field goal and it got blocked, which opened up the game, obviously. And I said that Kentucky, their entire program is about getting that yard. It's not about sending out the kicker and the special teams unit. It's about being able to get a yard with the big blue wall, a running quarterback, and Chris Rodriguez, who's already over 200 yards, who's a beast. You've been running the football. I think Stoops regretted it. Jack Grossman disagreed. There's no right answer or wrong answer. I don't believe college kickers from 37, 38 yards. I don't believe them. And I just don't know, football-wise, if you had any opinion on that play at all.
Well, I have multiple opinions.
Okay.
And I was watching at that point. Like especially Kentucky kickers of late, I would not trust them with that. But at the same time, like, see, I have a hard time in the middle of a game looking at that and saying, this is a program ethos situation. We have to establish who we are as a program. Whatever, man. Just, you know, if you think you should kick it, kick it. If you think you should hand it off, hand it off. I can't, you know, get into the whole, this is our identity right here on this play.
That was my take.
What you're saying makes sense. Yes, they are a physical running team, so fine. But if you don't, you think you should kick it, okay, it didn't work out. But I'm not sure it's a repudiation of everything you're trying to stand for.
Someone got in Stoops' ear to tell him not to do that. I don't know who it was. I don't know, Mitch Barnhart. You know, maybe one of his buddies took Mitch's phone and he'd been drinking, you know, because only the rich people can drink there at Kroger Field, and he called him in. I don't know what's going on. Quickly, Indiana-Cincinnati. What do you make of that game on Saturday? I expect Cincinnati to win the game, to be quite honest.
I do too. I think they're better. And that was even, I thought they were better coming into the season before I saw Indiana lay a dinosaur egg against Iowa. You know, Indiana's probably better than that game. I don't put any stock in beating Idaho. That means nothing to me, just like beating Eastern Kentucky means nothing. So, that doesn't mean much, but I just think Cincinnati is very, very solidly built across the board with a really good four-year starting quarterback who's from Louisville, with a really good Alabama transfer running back, with a very solid offensive line, with good enough receivers, with a great secondary, with some guys who can get some push up front. I mean, I look at Cincinnati and I say that's a team that can beat the large majority of Power 5 teams, and I think they can beat Indiana.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. Bama, Florida, just quick, you know, 10 seconds, whatever. What do you make of that game? Florida shuffling quarterbacks and Bama, you know, favored by, you know, 15, 16 points at this point.
Yeah, I'm never doubting Alabama again. I thought it would be close against Miami. I was completely dead wrong. It was a stupid thought on my part. So I'm not going to say, oh, they're in trouble here. Florida's got to show something, especially defensively. They've got a first round, maybe top 10 cornerback, but they've got a lot of other places where they've got to show up defensively against another extremely good Alabama offense. And I think Alabama's going to throw a lot at Emory Jones, and when he plays Anthony Richardson, the really, you know, super talented, super intriguing freshman quarterback. If Richardson was having trouble making reads against Florida Atlantic, wait till he's playing against guys who are as athletic as he is, and Nick Saban's scheming it. I just think that, well, as good as he is, as tantalizing as he is, and he may make some plays, I'm not sure you can put him back there for 50 snaps and expect him to do everything right without some major problems.
I think Michigan State beats Miami, and I'm not sold that Purdue is going to stay with Notre Dame. Do you agree with any of those that crappy analysis for me? Anything?
Oh, well, I think both are entirely possible. I mean, I think Purdue may beat Notre Dame.
Really? Okay.
I could be dead wrong, but I think this is Purdue's best team since Brohm's first year, and maybe Purdue's best team under Brohm. If they, you know, they've been healthy, which helps. And I just, boy, am I unimpressed with Notre Dame so far. I think Michigan State could beat Miami, sure. Michigan State went heavy in the transfer portal, even more than Kentucky did. 14 players through the transfer portal, and a lot of them very good who are making an immediate impact, and Miami looks pretty shaky. Miami has never been very good under Manny Diaz stopping the run, and the Wake Forest transfer, who's at Michigan State, ran for 264 against Northwestern, so look out.
Last one for Pat Forty. Appreciate the time, Pat. USC, you've written about it. It's going to be the big story. The Urban Meyer stuff's going to be out there. We've seen a lot of the same names, maybe Eric Bieniemy's names kicked around in the last 24 hours, I guess. Tell us where you think we are with that, how quickly they'll try to make a move. Is it the end of the year? And kind of what's going on there, you think, at USC?
Yeah, I mean, they can jump into action behind the scenes, but I think it's going to be a pretty slow process because pretty much everyone, unless they're going after Chris Peterson or Bob Stoops, which both of them could be possible, Peterson maybe more, then this is going to be a behind-the-scenes thing with guys that are in the middle of seasons, and most of them are going to be good seasons. I mean, you're talking James Franklin, Luke Fickell. I mean, if it were me and I were the AD, I would call Lincoln Riley and say, hey, do you really want to go into the SEC, or do you want to come out here and still be in a conference you can win easily like you have been in the Big 12? You know, I think that Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator now at Alabama, could be in play. People have thrown out Matt Campbell and P.J. Fleck. I would be lukewarm towards them because I see them get programs to a certain level, but not to the level USC wants to. So... there's going to be a lot of names, a lot of heat, a lot of smoke. Urban Meyer's not happening. Eric Bieniemy very much obviously wanted his name involved in this and put it out there via Adam Schefter. But I don't know whether how serious that candidacy will be.
Pat, appreciate the time. Safe travels this weekend. We'll keep following you there on Twitter at @ByPatFordy and obviously everything there at SI. Appreciate the time, Pat. Safe travels.
My pleasure. Go Broncos.
All right, there we go. There we go. Sad New York Giants. Ugh, what a sad team. So
what a party
shot. And then today they're doing the thing. You know, Saquon may not play. We know, just don't play. Just don't play.
just no one
play. Just go up there and get your ass kicked by Heineke. Get the hell out of here.
Get the practice squad up there.
I mean this. It's too bad Jack Grossman's not a New York Giants fan.
Yeah.
The Giants need a post-game show.
Whoa!
You think I'm kidding? I've done a lot of research on this.
Have you?
Because the people that do the network are a bunch of fanboys. They could lose 56-10. I dropkick one of those MFers. You understand what I'm trying?
Yeah.
I hate them. I hate them. Oh, my goodness.
Reach out to the folks in New York. I can do a post-game show that'll get the juices going. People going.
Me a post-game show.
I'll be negative. I'm going to call it like it is. Bum. I'm going to call him a bum. I'm not going to pat him on the behind. I'm going to call him a bum. I'll call Daniel Jones a third-tier quarterback.
Bum.
Let's go. I like that.
Start live streaming post-games, Andy.
I know. You got to watch out on the internet.
Oh, yeah, it's true. What are the internet rules?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what the internet rules are. I got to stay away from them.
That mic turned off pretty damn quick.
You know what?
Well, no.
He made his point. He ran away.
I like that.
I think that's a market. If that's a market, I mean, it's the damn New York Giants. People care about the bleeping Giants. I don't, but there are a lot of people that do.
I think you and Mitchell Hannigan should host together. Since he's a Giants fan, or pretends to be.
Mitch doesn't know a damn player. Get him out of here. I don't want to hear it from Mitch. Okay? I don't want to hear it from him. He doesn't know a thing.
No, he doesn't. He's those Cardinals
he'll be
baseball.
He'll be sleeping.
Yeah, I had a rough day today. I had to call.
By the way, the Reds losing last night to the Pirates.
Pittsburgh. Yep. I saw that.
What are they, like fourth in the wild card
now?
Well,
no, they are now a half game behind St. Louis.
Yeah,
yes. And
call anybody but the Cardinals. I mean, I know that we don't like the Reds around here. I can't have Mitch happy at all.
Did San Diego just not crap the bed?
Yeah, please.
Just San Diego's fun. They have fun players. Can they just beat these bum teams?
No.
Where are your Cubs, Jack? Where are your
Cubs? The Cubs suck. They beat Philly last night, so that didn't help the cause, because Philly's came into the day only 2.5 back, and then the Cubs right. beat them.
That has a lot of baseball talk there.
We hit the wall. You saw me drift.
I was drifting.
Yeah. I was drifting asleep there.
You started looking at the text line.
I went at the text line.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. 437-9680. We have coming up in 20 minutes, Travis Branham's going to join us.
Ooh, like him.
You like him?
Yeah, I do like
him. We'll talk with him about that. A couple different other tidbits I have for U of L, UCF. The moral victory card, I think I may keep that for tomorrow. You like that?
Oh, put that in the back pocket.
I might put that in the back pocket. We'll see. There's a new bracketology that's out.
Oh, is there?
A little bracketology.
Oh, bracketology? Oh! You hear Jack rubbing his hands? Yeah, you're singing his song, Andy. You're playing Don't Stop Believing for Jack right now is what you're doing. Bracketology talk.
Louisville has a 7 seed. When they beat 2 seed, I don't even know who the hell
Texas
it would
says
be.
Pat 40 makes my skin crawl. Thank you for that constructive criticism for us. Quick break halfway through. It's a Wednesday on ESPN 680-1057. All right, guys, DraftKings week one, may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. It's all safe, secure, reliable. It's what I use every single day now that we have football and everything else just about every day. It's DraftKings. So go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use our promo code WHBE to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code WHBE to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Now, you must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Did you mow the grass in those socks? They're a little green.
No, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't come out as...
All the way.
Yeah. And I do own, like...
And James Strebel.
When I do laundry, I do separate. I do separate the whites from the colors when I do laundry.
Whoa.
You know what I mean. You got to separate so that your white shirts don't turn like pink and such. So that's, you know, they still didn't get all the way done.
Oh, Jack, did you have him sinking at 3 o'clock today at 3:04 just immediately?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Reminder, we're on the air all day Friday getting you ready for the Cards and the Golden Knights. We'll be down there, maybe, probably, at the Caboose hanging out until 6 o'clock. Then, Miller Lite pregame show, little Patty Eisel, Taylor Lynch.
A little hour of Pat and Taylor.
Well, an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, 7:30.
We'll take you up until 7:30. Miller Lite postgame live there from the stadium. Mark Ennis, they'll have you covered. We'll have Satterfield live and much more. It's all coming up on ESPN Louisville on Friday. Then on Saturday, a little Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Post game with a little Strebel, little Lens.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Jack, have you looked at the latest bracketology?
Ooh.
That is
stunningly,
only,
I haven't.
The only purpose it serves
is to get me excited.
No, is this these 3 minutes that we waste before we have Travis Branham from 24/7 on to talk about Livingston,
Chris Livingston, and whatever else. Shaden Sharpe, the whole 9 yards. Yeah.
Where do you think, what seed do you guys think? I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
This is your boy Joey Brackets, and I can hear it right now. Hey, you're Joey Brackets. Doesn't know anything, Sweeney. Listen.
He's the worst percentage.
It's College Basketball Central around here.
Damn right.
Get a bracket. Bracketology that means absolutely nothing.
We're
going to read it on the air for 60 seconds, so bleep off.
We're prepping for Branham. He's a basketball guy, so let's go.
Where do you think Kentucky is?
3 seed.
4 seed.
3 seed.
All right, hey. Nailed that one.
They're a 3 seed, and they're an automatic qualifier, so he's got them winning the SEC.
Nice. Wow. I like that. I like it a lot.
That means the SEC is not going to be as good as we think it is then.
Well,
thank you, Jack.
If the AQ's a 3 seed.
You know, Jack... I don't need this from Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
Who will get 42 teams in the tournament and they'll all lose before 3 o'clock on Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. Thank
you.
I'm glad you said it
because I was going to say
but
it.
But he might be right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, the one seeds are Kansas, Gonzaga, Texas and UCLA, but we've already established Chris Beard's better than John Calipari.
Oh, we'll see.
Gonzaga's
a
super program.
Yeah.
And Kansas
is
now back.
I don't get Kansas.
Why?
Because I just don't.
Well, addition by subtraction.
Oh, is that what it is?
They got rid of Sidney Curry.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
They were a 3 seed. They got rid of Sidney Curry. Now they're a 1 seed.
When you have Bobby Pettiford on the team, that bumps you a line up.
He has to.
I mean, imagine if you have him on your team.
He'll be the unquestioned leader.
That's right.
What do you think Louisville is?
I'll go 7.
9.
This is the second one he's got right in a row, Jack.
Really?
I think these lines are a 7 seed.
I promise I have not seen this.
I don't know what's going on
here. I promise I did not see this.
What do you think Indiana is?
A 10.
I think Indiana is a 9 seed.
10 seed. And Joey Brackets has Louisville and Indiana playing in the first round of the tournament.
Yes! Yes! Oh, God, I need it. I need Mike Woodson. I need the goatee to beat Mac. I need it. That's the one time I'd root for Indiana. I would. Jack, can I co-host a post-game show with
Absolutely.
You? Absolutely. If that happens. You don't have to pay me, Andy. I'll do it for
good,
free. I'll volunteer.
We are good.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm glad you said that.
Okay, I'll volunteer to co-host that show with Jack.
It'd
I'd
be
love
a hell
that.
Of a show.
Yes, it would be a hell of a show. I need Mike Woodson sending Chris back home packing. Especially if he gets Caleb Glenn. He gets Caleb Glenn and puts Louisville out of the tournament. Oh!
You don't care about Caleb Glenn.
I do. I am not going to Louisville.
You didn't know his name.
I didn't.
2 weeks ago.
I didn't know his name yesterday.
Okay,
when
you
brought it up.
You don't care about Caleb Glenn at all.
I care
not
about
at
Louisville
all.
Not getting
0%.
He's Romeo Langford light.
Hey, you're back in the tournament, Jack. How about that?
I take it. That's all I want. It shouldn't be too much to ask for. Just make the damn tournament.
I mean, we're talking about adjusting.
Oh no! And unlike other people, I'll fully admit that's adjusting expectations. That's
okay.
Indiana basketball not being what they used to be. But I'm sitting here. I haven't seen them make a tournament since I was in high school. They've had Romeo Langford, Juwan Morgan, and Trey Jackson Davis, and haven't made the damn tournament. It's year one, Mike Woodson. Just make the bleeping tournament. That's all I want. I will not crush you. I'm just happy that Archie Miller's not the coach anymore. Just make the tournament, and I'll be happy.
Since he's a college graduate.
No one has standards anymore around here.
No.
Just make the tournament.
Make
I'll
the
be
tournament.
Happy.
Now, if, now if it's
just
like,
win a tournament game.
Now, if it's year four, and then I won't be saying that. But year one, you got Trace Jackson Davis. Just make the god bleeping tournament.
Whoa, look
at that. Strong.
Yes, just make the tournament, man.
Strong.
That shouldn't be too much to ask for at Indiana.
Texter brings up a great point. Is Strebel and his son Kellen going to be watching the UK U of L volleyball game tonight?
I didn't even know that it was on.
Oh, he's winking.
I really didn't. No,
Lenardi has Iona as a 16 seed, by the way.
Good. Yes.
Texas.
He should. Oh, if Patino puts out Beard.
No, that'd be great.
Oh, I need that more than Woodson putting out Mac. I need Patino sending Chris Beard home.
That's what I need.
That would be incredible.
Has 30.
I would absolutely faint. Texas says, is Blank going to be at the alley? When's he not at the alley?
He's at the alley right now.
He's going to be at the alley. Yes, he's at the alley. You don't have to worry. Anytime you go to the alley, Blank's there.
He's going to be stocking the fridge today.
Okay.
He's getting ready.
And if he's not there, they'll put it like a, if you ever go to a mall, who's ever went to a mall in the last, but they'll close their store and say back in 10, grabbing a bite to eat.
Yeah.
Back in 15. That's it. It'll just say Blank will be back in 10.
Yes.
Like no matter what, like you're going to know his – if he's not there, you're going to know the schedule of when he will be there.
So if we're at the Caboose on Friday –
you want to go to the alley? We can go to the alley.
Well, but here's the question, though. Like, if we're at the Caboose
– you're going to get out of – you're going to hightail out of there.
Is Blankenbaker not going to, like, come and visit us because he's got to stay in the alley the whole time?
He'll
like,
come to the Caboose leave? After the alley.
Yeah, but Strebel's leaving. If we do the show
from
there, you can call Brandon, by the way. You're out of there.
Probably.
Friday, I mean, no, not 6:01, you're out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I probably won't hang around too long. I might say hello to some people and then go.
No, you're out of there. Yeah, you're done.
Yeah,
you're out of there.
Yeah, I'm not hanging around. Especially I don't have a ticket to the game. Why would I stay?
You could drink a beer with me.
I would drink a beer with you.
You could hang out. People love to see you.
Yeah, I would hang out for a little bit.
There'll be another Kentucky, a couple of Kentucky fans, no doubt, palling around.
I mean,
throwing L's down. You do whatever you want
to
do.
Stay around. Maybe I'll stay around to like 7. That way I get home in time for the game.
Texas says, I just checked Ticketmaster. There are 15,000 tickets for sale for UofL-UCF.
I don't know if that's true. 15,000, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I'm not good at that show.
What?
That's a Diener show.
Oh, the Diener, ticket sales?
Diener does a better job at that show.
Yeah.
He just does.
Well, he's got the pulse of the fan base.
The pulse of the people.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
Diener.
What he is.
Yeah.
Travis Branham joins us. We like this guy. National basketball analyst, 24/7 sports. If you want to follow him on Twitter, @TravisBranham_. Travis, good afternoon, sir. How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, it's we're in the midst of in Louisville football hell. It's better with on the Kentucky side, but on Louisville it's football hell. But we have obviously Chris Livingston going to be making his announcement tonight. You have Louisville Live this weekend. Kentucky is looking like they're going to have a super class, so we thought we might as well do a little bit of basketball. Livingston, give us something on him. It's expected tonight he will join the ranks there and keep that class pumping along for John Calipari. Best maybe shooting forward since MKG. I don't know. You tell me. I did not mean for that to rhyme. What do you make of his game, and what do you make of that commitment, a top five kid going to John Calipari later on tonight?
Yeah, we're just a little over 2 hours away from him making his announcement official. It is expected to be Kentucky. He will be their second top five prospect in this class. And, I mean, surprisingly enough, especially for a lot of people out there, it's kind of a shocking stat. But this will be the first time since 2013 that John Calipari will hold two top five commitments in the same class. So that alone is a pretty impressive stat. Obviously, Kentucky recruiting is back at a level that many people, especially the BBN, love to see it at. So him as a player, he's an explosive athletic wing. He's at his best in transition and slashing in the half court. Over the past year, he's really improved his jump shot. If you're comparing him to MKG, definitely something that stands out much more so with Chris than with MKG, as Chris is very capable of making shots from three. His playmaking, his passing, the ball continue to develop. He's just a versatile wing, very, very talented, will impact the game at Kentucky immediately, both as a scorer, defender, and a rebounder. So will be a big pickup and a big night for Kentucky.
Look at I have next to me James Strebel. He's a BBN honk. He's a gas bag.
You smile, Travis.
And he's been boastful. He's boastful. You are smiling right now. Is it the Orlando Antigua effect? What is it? We know Lucas is recruiting, but let's be honest. Cal redid his staff, and now we're talking about top five kids, not, you know, top 25 kids or top 20 kids. We're talking about the top 10 like we did when Cal was having his most success. I mean, it's not just Antigua. Or is it? What's going on here? Is it NIL? Why are they getting better players than they have maybe the last couple years?
With Chris specifically, this is definitely a variety of those things with NIL and with coaching change. Because, I mean, you go back to when they had Joel Justice and Tony Barbee just, 7 months ago. They were not recruiting Chris at that time. They recruit, or they bring in Chin and they bring in Orlando. And now they jump in on Chris. They offer him immediately, just about immediately on taking the job. And I think this is where NIL comes into play. It's, most people consider Chris a very heavy pro lean. Like, not many people expect him to go to college. NIL changes. Chris now decides to go to college. He doesn't even have a pro route option amongst his finalists of Kentucky, Georgetown, and Tennessee State. So this is a variety of things that play into the part of this. And you saw it not only with Chris right now, but you also saw it with Imani Bates and Jalen Duren just a couple weeks ago when both of them decided to go to college. Both, again, were considered to be heavy pro lean. So NIL has had a massive impact on the entire recruiting landscape, and that shifts heavily in the favor of Kentucky, especially not only right now, and we're seeing it right now, but it's going to play out in the long term as well.
What did you make of Dern and Bates both going to Memphis? I mean, I know around here they don't like it because Louisville fans don't like him. They call him Memphis State. And Kentucky fans just bash Penny Hardaway that he can't do anything, but which makes it funnier for me because every time he gets, you know, big-time kids, it enrages BBN. But now, I mean, he gets Bates and Dern, and that's just awesome on every level. What did you make of those guys going to Memphis? Because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely – when you consider the history of John Calipari having been the head coach, I mean, Memphis fans love to see that success, especially on the Jalen Dern front where they were going toe-to-toe with Kentucky to win that battle. That was a huge, huge win for Memphis. But again, this comes back to NIL. Like, you see now that the recruiting landscape has shifted dramatically since that, what, I can't remember, I think it was July 1st is when it was first day.
It was June or July. How much has it changed? That was going to be my next follow-up. Yeah.
So, I mean, it completely shifted the power dynamics in recruiting. Now you're looking at the big markets, which in this case are the big college towns like in Kentucky. Lexington's not a big city by any means, but it's a huge college town with a huge fan base. Where these players can come in and market themselves tremendously. Memphis is one of those. I actually consider Louisville one of those as well. They're, I think, the biggest city in the country without a professional team, and they have a huge fan base as well. So the power dynamics and the power structures have changed to where now you're going to see Memphis get more elite prospects along with Kentucky, and Duke's even going to be more powerful in that regard. So it's been a giant change. Seeing Memphis win that, I know those fans absolutely love that more than anything, but it's going to be a fun ride over the next few weeks. And we saw it again with Kentucky now getting back in Memphis, landing Chris Livingston, where people were considering him a heavy Memphis lane, and then Kentucky came in and kind of swooped in on that one.
Travis Branham with us, a national basketball analyst, 24/7 Sports. You can check his stuff out, 247sports.com. I'm also looking at an article you put up earlier today, and one guy we were going to obviously bring up to you, Cason Wallace, number 7 in the country. A couple weeks ago, you logged the crystal ball for him going to UK, so I assume you believe that is going to happen, and it's the same conversation, Travis. The rich get richer, so there you go. Yeah, number 7, there you go. So they get another one. Yeah, all right, well, super class, Travis, great.
It's looking that way right now. I mean, if you go back to this time last year, Cason was just starting to blow up as a prospect. And during that time, it started to become known, especially amongst those in the media and coaching landscape, is he considered Kentucky actually a dream school growing up. So he's always had his eye on Kentucky. And then he kind of played it out the year. Obviously, Kentucky with Jay Lucas kept an eye on him. And then after a monster peach jam, they pulled the trigger, extended the offer, and immediately Tennessee was the leader. I think when they extended that offer, they definitely leveled it up just about, if not Tennessee still kept the lead. But after his official visit, it sounds like they made a very strong impression on him. Now, he has taken officials to Tennessee, to Kentucky, and to Texas. And he has one more official visit this weekend to Tennessee.
Okay.
So his commitment date right now is set for November 7th. Now that this weekend will complete all those officials, unless he decides to add one more, which I'll be surprised by, I could actually see this commitment being moved up. And yes, I'm still leaning on that Kentucky crystal ball as of now. Tennessee has done a great job on him. They got on him really early, really prioritized him. But I think the draw and lure of Kentucky is going to win this one out.
Travis Branham with us. Streeble's so happy right now.
Yeah,
do you have anything else
Kentucky-wise?
Because I want to ask about Louisville Live and some other guys.
A quick Kentucky question.
Go ahead.
All right, just real quick, Travis. I mean, that Cason Wallace would be huge, and then you just kind of put a cherry on top of that class.
Oh, you want more?
You want
more.
I mean, you got Derek Lively or you got Adem Bona. Out of those two, who do you think would be the most likely to Kentucky right now, Lively or Bona?
Man, that's a really tough question. That's one I'm actually trying to answer myself.
Oh.
Because I think Lively is going to be one that's going to take his time with this. There's no signs that he is going to pull the trigger on his commitment in the next month or so. Whereas Adem Bona, sounding like you're going to get a late October, maybe early November commitment. So you're going to have to, Kentucky's really going to have to kind of weigh their information and figure out what, because you can't miss out on both.
Right.
So you're going to have to figure out who you got the best chance with and also figure out and feel out what's going to happen with this current roster. you return Oscar Tshiebwe, you return Damian Collins, you don't have room necessarily to bring in a Dembona and Derek Lively. So you're going to have to pick and choose one probably. Okay. But if you fill out this current roster, you see several of these bigs are going to leave. Now you got room for both, and you can make that happen. So this is one that's going to take time to fill out. And again, Bona, it's sounding like, is going to pull the trigger first. Lively is in no rush, but I do expect him to get one or the other.
Travis Brandon with us here, 24/7. Just quickly on U of L, and you may not know, so I don't know. I mean, we've been talking so much football around here, and that it being on a Saturday as well, Louisville Live at Churchill Downs, just hasn't maybe got the pub maybe right. as other years. That's how I feel. It should be a fun event. And again, Dusty Stromer, I don't know if I'm pronouncing all this right. He's going to be there. Caleb Glenn, Louisville fans, top 40 kid, are all over him. Four-star Rodney Rice, we know about him. I guess any of those kids, anything you're hearing U of L, or who might be there for Louisville Live on Saturday?
Yeah, they got a loaded slate coming to Louisville this week. It's going to be an absolutely massive weekend for that basketball program. Yes, you named it right. Dusty Stromer, he's a 6'6", 6'7", guard who can really make shots on the perimeter. He's a good passer. Then you got Rodney Rice, their top priority in 2022. Given their current structure, their current roster structure, they're not recruiting many guys in 2022, and he's right. their top target. So that is going to be the most important guy on campus this weekend. Then, yes, Caleb Glenn, top 40 kid out of Louisville. I would expect Louisville to be a heavy, they are in heavy consideration. But Indiana is also working hard. I think it's going to come down to those two teams at the end of the year. He's actually already cut down his list, I think, to four. But those are going to be the top two, and he'll be one to keep a very, very close eye on. You also got another kid named Jared McCain. He's actually AAU teammates with Dusty Stromer on a team called Team Why Not. They actually won Peach Jam 16. Very, 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 very skilled player. He will make a big jump next time we update our personal 24/7 sports rankings up near the top 30. Just a very skilled, dynamic combo guard. Then you got Louisville commit Tay Davis coming in, and that just about rounds it out for all the official visits. So huge weekend for Louisville going on with Louisville Live. They will have more unofficials, but Rodney Rice going to be the one to watch.
Well, Travis, appreciate the time. Take care. Safe travels. Enjoy whatever basketball you got. Enjoy the college football if you can. We'll catch up down the road. Thank you so much.
Well, dude, appreciate you guys having me on. I always enjoy it, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate it. Travis Brandon, 24/7. What are you looking at over there, Stream? Yeah, are you battling somebody?
No, I'm not. What are you doing right now?
Well, he's just in heaven right now.
Yeah, you really are. Sorry, Jack, we didn't ask Indiana.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, we're talking, you know.
Uh-oh, what's going on? What's going on with you?
It's cute. So we were talking, you know, Shaden Sharp and, you know, Case Wallace, number 7, Chris Livingston, number 4, and then Bona, top 10, Derek Lively, number 2. And he's named off these Louisville players at Louisville Live. So I gave a little peek.
Here we go. I already have the numbers. You don't have to peek. I already got the numbers.
All right. I mean, Caleb
Stromer's 56. Glenn's 38. McLean's going to move up. He said that. Rodney Rice is 52.
That's a giant weekend for recruiting. What a weekend! What's the highest one? 38. Remember the Super Six?
The Super Six had like Sam Williamson was a McDonald's All-American?
Yeah, and look what happened. Nothing.
Jack, what do we do at a time like this?
Oh,
what
God.
Do I do? What do I do? Because I'm guilty by association now.
Yeah, we both are.
Listen, everyone was thinking the exact same thing.
I didn't know the rankings. I'm sorry. I didn't know the rankings, so I had to look them up, and I'm looking at them, and I just started to smile. I can't help it. It tickled my funny bone.
What else tickles? You know what? I don't want to hear about tickling your funny bone.
I'm sorry. It's big recruiting weekend. I was like, oh, really? Big weekend. Let's see if some of these guys are ranked. And I looked. I was like, yeah. Oh, that ought to get the text line going.
You think?
Just mean and ugly.
I'm sorry, mean and ugly. Andy,
I know.
He's just rattling these dudes off of her cow. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, It's an indictment on Joel Justice and Tony Barbie.
You don't think that Louisville's going to recruit with Kentucky? Yeah, nobody does.
Came, they're like, oh,
well, that was 4 years.
But even that,
years
like, that wasn't like the same type of caliber. It's just they built the programs a different way, Strebel.
Oh, they built the programs the right way.
Haven't they been humbled enough? Like, they know they're not going
to
get Lively or Cason Wallace. They know they're not getting Cason Wallace.
I know they don't, but they just need to be reminded of these things. And the programs are not the same. Take your cute win last season. It's over again. Now you're going to have to go a few more years, at least five more years.
Not the same waters.
Not the same waters. I heard same waters. Her Cal can't get news anymore.
I agree with that, Jack. I agree with that, Jack.
I'm not scared for Cal Fair. You scared now. You huddled. You're under the blankets. The boogeyman's coming back. John Calipari, Candyman's coming to get me.
Candyman.
Yeah. I pipe down, Louisville fans. Pipe. Same waters, not in football, not in basketball, not in volleyball. Nothing. You got nothing.
You and Kellen gonna watch that tonight?
I don't know what we're gonna do.
Why don't you pop it on?
It might be on. It'll be on.
You want to get Big Easy on to preview it?
The Big Easy needs to do a post game show. Volleyball post game with Big Easy.
With the patch.
Big Easy in the patch.
Oh goodness. Am I doing a Hightower Men's Clinic?
Yes, because of course you are.
I think Strebel needs to do it this time, actually.
I agree. I mean,
they have the pulse wave therapy at Hightower.
Yeah.
But you have the pulse wave therapy going on right now.
I do.
Like, within your own body.
In my body. I'm getting
your
all
body
the
is one pulse wave. Yeah. Hit the liner. We'll be back. All right, you heard us mentioning it there, the Hightower Men's Clinic. Guys, you don't have to live with ED or PD. They can help you today. It's the Hightower Men's Clinic. Get that consultation and see what they do and what they can do for you. Again, HightowerMens.com, HightowerMens.com, or 690-2800. And like I said, you find out more about not Strebel's Pulse Wave Therapy, but by the Pulse Wave Therapy that they have right now, FDA approved, all natural, non-invasive, no drugs or needles. They got you covered. Get that life back. Get that love life back. Be the Strebels and do so with the Hightower Men's Clinic. HightowerMens.com, 690-2800.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.